Good evening, everyone. We thank God for the prayer and the Bible study tonight. We thank God for each and every one of you that prayed. I am not the pastor. Again, his eyebrows a little thinner than mine. So. Nobody will laugh at that one. But tonight we're going to be continuing on the subject of marriage, God's way. And being that I was informed to do tonight, I said, well, let me give a stab at it. I think I know a little something, but we want to, again, as we are studying this month, God's view of marriage. God's view of marriage. And tonight our subject is going to be love and marriage. Love and marriage. And you might have heard that song. I might have known in that one by Frank Sinatra. Love and marriage. Love and marriage. It's an institute you can't disparage. Yeah, Frank Sinatra. Right, that's for sure. But Frank Sinatra, look it up, Google it. Whose voice you think that is singing it? When you think about it, whose voice is that? Love and marriage. Love and marriage. And you know what? That was the first thing I thought about was that show. Love and Marriage. Married with Children. Which is one of those shows you definitely don't want to based your marriage upon. But you know what? Even in that show, there's always Anders and it's downplay on marriage. It's somehow them two just seem to stay together through it all. Al, who he is, Peg, who he is, the kids and who they are, they still manage to stay together. So love and marriage. Now, you know, love is a wide subject, right? You look in your concordance, you'd be like, so I said, well, I know they're not going to let me go through every verse in love tonight. Here you go. The Holy Spirit won't let me. I won't let me go through all about love and that is in the Bible. But again, we do want to point out something that is very essential about love and marriage. And as a subtopic, just write, if you just take a mental note, getting daddy involved. Getting daddy involved. Getting daddy involved. And we're gonna explain that and elaborate on that. Again, our topic, love and marriage. Getting daddy involved. If you have your Bibles, go with me to 1 John, the second chapter. We're going to just read a couple of verses. 1 John, the second chapter, verses 3 and 6. Who has the King James Bible? Okay. Who has any other Bible than King James? What you have? You have it all. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. When somebody got it all, that's love. And that's... No. Okay. And actually... read it out of the English version, and then I'm going to read it out of the Amplified version. Before we do anything, let's pray. Oh my God, let's have prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before your presence. Oh, what a privilege, what an honor, what a joy that you have chosen us before the foundation of the world to come, that we, being yet far off, should be drawn near to you, and we should be called the sons, the children of God. Father, we pray, Lord, as we go into this brief study, Lord, that you would lead and guide us. Holy Spirit, we can't speak unless you speak. We can't think unless you think through us. So take over, and Father God, Lord, let the Spirit permeate this room, that we receive understanding and information that we can do application. This is our prayer. Amen. Okay. Yeah. First, let's read the King James Version. Who got King James? We got good old James, King of James. How about that, sister? Want to read that for me? Yes. The First John, the second chapter. Just read verses 3 through 6. Okay. Propitiation. Is that 1 John, the second chapter? I'm sorry. I want 1 John, second chapter. Oh, she didn't get the third verse. I thought it was one. I was looking. Okay. The third verse. Go ahead, sweetheart. That's good. You go ahead. You go right on ahead. That's good. I like that. Let's get it all in. Amen, amen. Read the English Standard Version, Sister Scott. And while she's coming, verses 3 through 6. And listen as our sister read, and keep in mind what he's saying. The key words, what is the key subject out of this? Okay, go ahead.
And we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walks.
Amen. And let me just read, which out of the Amplified Version. And this we know, or this is how we know, daily by experience, that we have come to know him, to understand him, and to be more deeply acquainted with him. If we habitually keep, focus on his precept, and obey his commandments, teaching. Whoever says, I have come to know him, but does not habitually keep, focus on his precepts and obey his commandments, teaching, is a liar, and the truth of the divine words is not in him. But whoever habitually keeps his word and obey his precepts and treasure his message in its eternity, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. It is complete and has reached maturity. By this we know for certain that we are in him. Whoever says he lives in Christ, that is, whoever says he accepts him as God and Savior, ought, as a moral obligation, to walk and conduct himself just as he walked and conducted himself. Amen. So a couple of things here. The key words that should come out to you is know and love being perfected. Before we go, I want here's for class participation. I'm going to ask the question. Now, here's the first question. How many have been on a date more than, how many have been on a date? Okay. Substitution. You don't mind me asking. when you and Brother JC were starting your dating, on the first date, did you ask him if he loved you? Why? He didn't know you that well. All righty. Okay. You know what? That's going to be in next month's series called Check 'Em Out. Sister Lillian, the newlywed, did you ask Kirby on your first date, did he love you? Anybody got a reason why? It was too soon. Okay, anybody else want to? Hi, Sister Tina. On your first date, did you ask him, say, hey, do you love me? I'm talking about on the initial date, on the first date. No. Too soon? Too soon. Okay. But would you say that that's an important thing to know before going into the relationship? Well, Sean, if this was the one, like, you know what, I got a feeling, or maybe this might, not even if you know it, maybe this might be the one. Is that important to know? Yes. Why? You don't want to waste your time? Okay. So, even if they like you, but they said, hey, I'll do some things for you, but if they don't love you, you just don't want to waste your time. Right? Yeah. How about you, Sister Lena? Same question. Why is it important? Why is that? Because now, and again, we didn't ask that question when we was down at our first date at McDonald's. That's why I took my first date at McDonald's. And I thought it was wonderful. And they thought it was wonderful. It wasn't Rochelle. It wasn't her. It wasn't her. Okay. Okay. Very, very.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Sometimes they learn to, they might be examples. But anyway, going back, because it's important to you, going into the relationship because you don't want to waste time. Huh? Anybody else? This love thing. I want to know. Look, going into it, I think this is the one, or this might be the one. And the most important question I got to ask is, do they love me? Because again, those of us who've been in relationship, married, from that, every now and then, what do you ask?
I don't know.
You don't believe in asking? Okay. Okay. All right. Good. Good. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. So. What I'm getting is that, hey, it's too soon, and because I want to know, because love is important, because you all agree that love will build a confidence in the relationship, that love will build a clear path of destiny where the relationship is going, because love has a lot to do with it, right? Because one thing about love does what? It covers a multitude of faults. Love is it. It's the grandiose. I need to know, do you love me? Okay. So, with that, well, how do you find love? What is love? What is love, Sister Kiyoshan? What is love? Prove it. Love is God. Finding love is God. I know. I shouldn't put you on the spot. But you're right. You gave me the right answer. Go to 1 John 3:18. 1 John 3:18. Yes. That should be the chapter right over. Anyone have it? Wait, Krista McCoy? No, let's go ahead. My little children. Now, Johnny's talking to other believers. Was there anything else? All right. Maybe I cover that. Maybe it's John. Hold on. Maybe it's John. I thought I wrote this down. Give me a second. 3:18. Okay. All right. But there is the verse, and I must have wrote it down, where it says somebody can find you. There it is. That's it. I don't know how I wrote that down. 1 John 2:4. No, say that again. That, where'd you find it?
It was 1 John 4:8.
Maybe that was it. 1 John 4:7 and 8. Read them both for me. Okay. And again, as you're starting out, as the pastor said, that we started out, we're coming from this from a biblical perspective, God's way. Again, we can ask anybody. We can get all different answers on what love is. But we got the truth of the Word of God, which tells us what love is. God, what? Is love. And how do we know His love? Well, I'm glad Sister Keisha, who she went a little further into my lesson, helps us to understand, look, we need to know that He is love, because guess what? His love, first of all, is everlasting. And not only is His love everlasting, and I tried to find that. If anybody can find that verse for me, it said Jeremiah. I know it's in Jeremiah. He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn you. Okay? So, love has existed way before we got here. And it'll exist way after we go. And that is through love. And if you remember what I said, my subtitle is Getting the Father Involved. A lot of times, what we fail to do is we leave out the key component in our relationship. It's not him, it's not her, but it's God. And we've got to know, how much do you love God? Because what? We should be the reflection of God's love. And the reason why we should be the reflection of God's love is because we are the object of God's love. How do you know you're the object of God's love? John 3:16 clearly makes that I'm sorry, Jeremiah. Read that. Listen to this. Jeremiah 31:3.
The Lord has prepared an oath unto me, saying,
uh-huh.
Yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, loving kindness have I drawn thee.
The Lord has appeared unto me and said, yea, I love. You know why He loved us with everlasting love? Because that's what we as people need. Have you ever dealt with folk? Mm-hmm. Have you ever dealt with people who you have joined? And that latter part says, I have drawn with love and kindness. Have I drawn you? And when you look at this, go back into the history of Israel, God brought them out. God fed them, God clothed them, God delivered them, God gave them everything they need. And what do? They turned around and went back on God. And guess what? He kept loving them. And look, you know it wasn't human love, because as soon as somebody do me dirty, after all I've done for you, that's right, I'm out. We're done. It's over, okay? What would they say? Once, shame on me. No, shame on you. Twice, shame on me. But what? God never does that. And he says, look here, I need you to know that, because guess what? If you are going to show love, if you want to find out about love, it has to come through me, and it's through everlasting. And it is not just by words, but it is how being treated, by actions, right? Okay? And that's why he says, look here, when it comes to the world, I so love. And if you look that word so, it means to stretch. For God so loved the world. Have you ever told somebody, says, you know, I love you so much? You usually tell them to little babies, you know, little children. Oh, I just love you so much. They innocent. They, you know, they just as cute and everything. Then as they get older, yeah, I love you, all right. But, you know, somehow you lose the soul. The olds become, okay, so, okay. But he loves us. And this is what I want you to get. We are the object of that love. And then that love has to flow. Got to remember what? Since he's in eternity, right? Since he's forever be going. So guess what? All his characteristics have to keep going. It has to keep manifesting itself. That's why forgiveness has to keep going. We got to keep forgiving. We got to keep loving. It has to keep going. The Bible says from heart to heart. Look, and guess what? He said when he showed it to Israel, that's exactly how his love is to be displayed today. Not when you're doing good, but also when you're doing bad. I'm going to come to another question, and I'm going to be short tonight. I'm coming to another question. When is real love exhibited in a marriage? When is real love exhibited in a marriage? And I'm going to tell you this. Real love isn't exhibited on the wedding day. You come down, she's just looking for, oh. Ooh, that dress is beautiful. It's not exhibited then. It's feelings. But real love, the Bible love, is not exhibited on the wedding day. Okay? All right. Let me go back. Let's go back to John 2. 1 John 2, 3, and 6. And I just want to bring out some important things. And again, like I said, love is a wide spectrum. There was many verses, but this verse came to me, and I was like, ooh, this is it. 1 John 2, starting at verse 3. Here we go. And I'm reading it in the Amplified. And look at the first word. It says, and this we know. Again, it's that security in knowing. It's that confidence in knowing. Nobody wants to go into anything without knowing something about it. You don't want to go into an investment without knowing something about it. Is it going to fail? How long has it been? You want to know. That's the human nature. Imagine you're going in to a marriage relationship. You're like, well, I hope he loves me. Or, you know, maybe. That's why you date. That's why you date for more than a month. 2 months. This, and please, honey, pull me in. Please excuse me. Sometimes I go off. But this online dating and everything, okay? Y'all just met, and you met online. Now you date. Then you want to get married all in the span of 2 months. Oh, well, we got chemistry. Chemistry is in a lab, okay? That's what chemistry is at. You need more than chemistry. But anyway, you need to know. Why? Because knowing gives us that confidence. And look here, when we have confidence in knowing something that's sure, you won't be afraid of anything. Glory to God. So anyway, and it says, and I have in parentheses, daily by experience. That's how you want to know, through experience. He said, John is saying to those he's writing to, you're going to know by experiencing. Not something you hear, not reading on the horoscope, not online. You've got to experience what he's going to talk about. Knowing him and what's connected with him, okay? That we have come to know him. Who is him? God. God is love. So when I know God, guess what? I know what love is. Not, and that, I tell you, I wish y'all could understand. Daily experience. Christianity is not a car. That's the best example I give. You drive a car, you test drive it, and if you don't like it, you what? You give it back. You take an appliance home. You don't like it. You got, what's those commercials? I love them commercials, y'all. Try this for 30 days. And your money, you get money back, guaranteed. Minus shipping and handling. Now, the shipping and handling costs more than the product. But anyway, they tell you, you can try. This, when we come to know God, it is not like that. First of all, David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Huh? How do you know? First of all, he's been good to you up until now before you accepted him. That's how you look down on you. Oh, man, you know what? I know he's good after all the stuff I did. And he let me, what, come into the light and experience him? Okay. And it says, and in parentheses, it says, to understand him and be more deeply acquainted with him if we habitually keep, and the word habitually is italicized in mind, meaning that they added that into it to give it a little more oomph to it, to more emphasis. Habitually. You know, I will come to know God if I make him a part of my habit. Can't pray one week and miss the next week. Can't read one day. Can't do it during the Lent season and expect God, oh, God, you're going to be with me. And then after the 40 days, you go right back. It has to be habitually. Because guess what? It's coming into a knowing relationship with him. Have you ever done that? And you don't even know it, but you just do it. It becomes what? A part of you. It's a part of you. Great, why? Nobody got to take it, watch out. You just do it. How habitual. Okay? Look, you go and brush it. It's habitual. And that's how it is when you come to know God. He is so much a part of my life that sometimes, look, I'm just thinking about, even when I'm not thinking about him, he's still there. He's somewhere during the course of my day, fellowshipping with him. Okay? In parentheses, focus on his precepts and obey. Focus on his word. Focus on, thank God we are going through this Lent season. And as I was telling my wife, and I think I might have told you all, we cannot and should not be so enamored with the fasting. Oh, and what do I mean by that? Oh, boy, that's working, son. I've been going 48 hours. I ain't eating no meat. I ain't eating nothing. I'm just so happy. And you know what? You're focused on the aesthetics and not focused on the purpose or the result of it. Fasting is to take away and to what? Replace by reading, praying, and guess what? Getting to know him. So don't be enamored with what you're doing. Oh, boy, man, I went 3 weeks for that coffee and everything. Oh, I'm so proud of myself. And then, you know what? You get what's called vain glory. It's in vain. But how many, when you go, ooh, let me talk about the word of God. Hey, let me tell you, look, come in prayer, okay? So, again, if we are more focused on his precepts, and then look at this. Obey. I'm reading from the Amplified, and I'm on verse 3. Focus on precepts and obey. Two things that are inescapable. His word and obeying. You can't do one without the other. It won't work. It won't work. I don't care how much you read. They read the Bible in class as literature. In college, it's literature. And some of the students are far from obeying. And you can't obey if you don't focus on the word. What are you obeying? That? Somebody say something? that they go both hand in hand. And this is what? All a part of knowing, because I'm going to get to know love. Verse 4. Whosoever say, ooh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You notice what? Look at how he transitioned. Now, in the first verse of this, he says nothing about saying his love. Nothing about saying it. He don't mention nothing about words being spoken. What does he mention? Doing. You're focused. You're obeying. You know, he ain't say nothing about, oh, you said it 1,500 times a day that you love me, that you know me. Uh-uh. He says you do it. Now he transitions and says, now, here's something we got to know also, because it's going to happen that when people say it, look what he says. Whoever says, I come to know him, okay? First of all, you won't have to say you know him. There's going to be some proof. And here John goes right into it. He says, whoever says he know him, but watch, check this out, but does not habitually keep, focus on his precepts and obey his commandments, teaching, is what? A liar. You got to get that stuff. Before you get married, you need to get that spirit out of you. That's why he's not focused. Like, and like you said, Sister Keisha just went into my lesson. She don't have to say it. It'll show itself. And if I asked you, and if it's not, and if you haven't obeyed, guess what? You'll speak a lie. And you know who that shows you've been spending time with? Who? The devil. What did he say? The father lie. He told his Pharisees, he said, the lust of your father you will do. You spent time with him. You've been habitually obeying his precepts. And he said, and you will do it because he is your father, and he is the father of lies. Not even fit. Now, if you can spend time, and just think about our lives. When we habitually spent time doing what we want to do in sin, was that not with the devil? And we didn't even think about it. And guess what? We grew stronger and stronger. You look at it, this is our world today, spending so much time with everything we got to appease to our flesh, to appease to the sin nature. We're spending more and becoming habitual. Look at it. What is it, 18? They're counting. Somebody said, this is becoming the norm? Shooting in schools, the norm? But that's where we've gone. Habitually. Because guess what? The world don't know him. And it's up to us that you know him to show us, to show true love. Okay? Let me move on. But whoever habitually keeps his word and obeys his precepts, and I love this, and treasure his message in its entirety. Treasure the message in entirety. All of it. I believe one of the prophets, who, tell me out, Reverend, what was the prophet? He said, I took the whole roll and ate it. Was that Hosea? He said, take the whole roll and eat. Look, don't just take the parts you like. I love the blessing part. Blessed is the man that walks out. Blessed is the man. Bitter and sweet. Blessed is the man. Bless this. Bless. You're blessed going out. You're blessed coming in. You're blessed in the field. Show me them scriptures. But don't show, if you have an ought against your brother, go back. Take the good with the bad, the bitter with the sweet. And here it is. Whoever habitually keeps his, was Ezekiel? Thank you. Said, look, take the whole roll and eat it. Don't just take part of it. Because when you deal with, look, and when you speak it, you got to speak all of it. The whole truth. Huh? What did it say? Give me the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Hey, that was a bad. Hey, that is something. Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. What am I saying? That's your preacher material. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Don't give me a lie. Because I'll believe that lie and I'll go into that relationship believing a lie, and our whole relationship is based on what? A big fat lie. Now you're disappointed. Now you're hurt. That's what you, look, okay, let me hurry up. I don't want to get hit. Okay. Treasure's message in him, in that person, what does it say? The love of God has been truly perfected And here it says, it is completed and has reached its maturity. When you are doing and obeying, he says, God's love is mature. And guess what? It's going to show. You take it in the natural. When you're little, remember, Tim, you played with the little Barbie dolls and Baby Alive. Remember them? Remember Norm? G.I. Joe. Remember Big Jim? Anybody remember Big Jim? He had the muscles. Every time he moved his arm, the muscle would flex. You know? Okay. I had a Big Jim every year. Every year I wanted a Big Jim. You put the little band around and you flex his arm and he pops the band. Anyway. But then what? You grow. Now Barbie, no more interest. Big Jim, now you want to be like Big Jim. Look, I want to be. Look, I don't want Big Jim. I want to be like Big Jim. Okay, you what? You mature now, and it comes to daily things in your life. You're doing a bit. Now you grow. You're growing into something. You're coming into manhood. Okay, you're coming into womanhood, and those things you don't have a need for anymore. Okay. All right. Thank you, honey. I gotta keep going. Anyway. Has been perfected. And that's what perfected means. It says right here, it's complete and has reached maturity. Perfected. Not that we don't have fault. Understand that. Oh, yeah, you made a mistake. You think you're perfect. Well, but I'm mature. And part of maturity is that if I do make a mistake, you don't hold it against me. That's mature. And I say, I'm sorry. That's maturity. That's perfected. God's way. Mature. Alrighty. And by this we know, here we go, we know. For certain. That's what it has to do. For certain. No more doubting. I used to always, I say, are you saved? I don't know. Oh, that's a problem. You didn't understand. You need to read his precepts. And they need to obey. He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what? Thou shalt be saved. Did you believe that? Yes. Now obey it. Walk in it. He says, when you're doing this, you want to know for certain, okay, that we are in him. Whoever says he lives in Christ, that is, whoever says he has accepted him as God and Savior, ought, has a moral obligation to walk and conduct himself in him just as he's walked and conducted himself. Okay. Are there any questions? The love of God is being perfected in him. Any questions on that? Do we understand that? Okay. Got a couple more minutes. Here's the second part. Get the Father involved. Get the Father involved. When we talked about, here's help for those who want to get married and to those who are getting married or who are married. Always get the Father involved. Why do you want the Father involved? Because you want the Father's love, right? Okay. When they did betrothal, well, I'm having trouble. Remember betrothal? Betrothal. Remember what we were talking about betrothal? It was arranged. It was arranged back in biblical custom. It was arranged marriage. You know who did the arrangement? The fathers. The fathers did it. So, the Puritan father met with the Scott father. We come together and say, hey, we got the fathers involved. Here's something for all the singles. Here's something for all the singles. While you're dating, if you want to know if that's the right one, ask your father. And then as you go along, given the time, see if they possess the father's characteristic, the father's love. Here you go. See, why do you do that? How does he treat his family? How does he treat other people? How does he react when he's in a situation that is not favorable? Is he showing the love of God? Now, again, you can ask. Now, the first thing we ought to say, well, you know, we was taught, first thing you need to ask, is he saved? And then I was taught, and I always went, yes, is he saved? Along on top, does he have employment? he should be saved. work out his soul salvation and have employment. Work out his. But anyway, I'm getting back about the Father. I thought about, and I was given this, and I love all my children. I love all my children. But I'm especially overly protective about my girls. And he was like, well, what about your son? Because, you know, if anybody come, you know, any young man come after my girls, they got to come through me. Remember, no man coming through the Father but through Jesus. Look, anybody coming through my girls, they got to come by me. He said, well, what about Cam? I said, well, he knows what to do, but let her father worry about him. I'm worried about my father. And so anyway, all I said that to say, I brought my girls up that, hey, this is how you should be treated by a male figure. Now, I'm treating you this way, providing for you physically, spiritually, mentally. I'm doing this not out of obligation. I'm doing this out of love because you are my child. I have a love. And then one day, guess what? You're going to get older and you're going to go on. You're going to have your own. So whatever you saw in me, how I treated you. And look, as a father, I treated you when you've done good. I treated you well. When you've done bad, I still treated you well, but I had to do a little punishment. I still had to do. Look, so I am the figure. I am the person of which you should judge how a man treats you. If he don't treat you with respect, he don't treat you with honor, if he's lying to you, and look, she knows all about this. I'm getting ahead of her. But she knows how to be treated. You know how she knows how to be treated with me? Because guess what? She did what? She spent time with me. Glory to God. She spent time. This didn't come overnight. She didn't come here, oh, you know. We spent time together. And that's how relationships should be. That's why we got to get the Father involved in our relationship. Lord, as I'm spending time with you, I need to see what I see in my Father, I need to see in him or her. And guess what? I'll know with this love. Well, whatever. You know, that's all good. And, you know, you get, you know, you're infatuated, you know, at the beginning of the marriage and all that. You're looking good. I mean, you see nothing, no flaws, nothing but beauty. Beauty coming down the aisle. Behold. The bride walking up and she sees, oh, look at him, my knight in shining armor. No flaw. Didn't know that armor had some cracks in it. You know why? You didn't see it because they used armor all. Covered it up. Didn't see that. But then as you go on in marriage, you're going to find some things. And this is where love is going to be seen. Go to 1 Corinthians. We're done. We're going to wrap it up right now. 13, the love chapter. That's why, and during the count, you know, the thing is, hey, get your father involved. Look, know your father. Well, preachers, you know, we got a couple of them married, and they don't even recognize God. They don't know God. But you know what? They know a principle. Everyone, even the worst of heathens, has a little... How do I say it? Something about God in them. England. They may not know it, but they have something. Why? Because the Spirit of God was in there. And even though sin is coming up, guess what? Because guess what? How do you know to come to Christ? There's just something within you that'll draw you to say, look, you know what? This is not working. And it's only until you hear the Word of God that will connect with that Spirit and say, oh, there it is. That's what I've been looking. My search has been over. Okay? Who got 1 Corinthians 13? Let me get it. And we are done. Can y'all hear me? 14th chapter. I didn't say the verse yet. Let's go down to verse 4. And let me read it. I'm reading it from the Amplified. Love endures with patience and serenity. Love endures. That's after the honeymoon. And guess what? That's even during the dating period. Look, tell these young people, take time, take a year and a half, 2 years, 6 months, 7 days, 5 hours, take the time. See if they're enduring, okay? Because in the beginning stage, what? You get everything they want you to see. It's amazing. You're like, man, I didn't know his socks had holes in them. After you got married, now you had to wash them. Wow. Big old hole, too. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that. But guess what? He had his shoes on all the time. And even when he went to the beach, he took them off. Love endures with what? Patience. Serenity. Love is what? Kind. Is there an ending point? Did anybody read an ending point yet? Okay. Let me know when we get to an ending point. And thoughtful. And is not jealous or envious. One, two. Somebody said the other day about, you know, they don't want their wife paying the bills. And, you know, people are intimidated because the wife make more money than the husband. And now they got an attitude. Really? You come together. Here you go. You work it out together. Don't be jealous. Huh? Isn't that some stupid, crazy stuff? Even I need a new boat. You can buy that honey for me for Christmas. Anyway. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. Love don't say, look at me. Look at what I've done. Okay? Love is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. It is not provoked, nor overly sensitive and easily angered. And talk about easy. It's not easy anger over the little things. Sometimes, you know, you'll get a little anger and it'll usually build up. But if you start being angry at every little thing, then you got a problem. You need to go back to your Father and say, Lord, help me get rid of this stuff and put the love in me. Why am I? And look, and that's usually a sign of something deeper. You didn't put I'm angry and mad at you because you didn't put the cap on the toothpaste. I forgot. I'll get a squeeze next time, okay? The squeeze cap. Okay? But don't get angry over that. And there's something deep. And look, and those who are married, and those who are, watch out for those little symptoms of things. Huh? And you got to know how. I'm giving you a little bite. You got to know how. When your husband come home from work and he had a bad day, don't talk about the bills. Huh? Timing is everything. You see that joker angry at you? Come here, honey, and rub his head. Oh, what David said. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Short. Good God Almighty. Does not take into account wrongdoing. That's what the Father loves. That's how you know you got God's love. It don't take into account. If God took into account, I love that verse. It says, for the Lord has not dealt with us according to our iniquity. He would have took into account everything we've done and be like, you disqualify everyone, but he don't take into account. And that's what love do. It don't take into account wrongdoing. I'm laughing because nobody should say it. I'm sorry. My wife be like, well, you know, such and such. When I did that, I said, all right, I'm going to get you. And she do something. I said, see? Okay. And then, months ago on, she do it again, and I can't remember. I was like, I'm supposed to accuse you of something, but I can't remember. I heard the preacher, and the preacher's right. He said, there was a time when you could will, when I was younger, you could will yourself to remember. You know, you used to be like, hey, remember this. He said, now, you got to write down what you want to remember. You got to remember where you put it at. You got to remember that where you put it at, and why you're going to get it. Then you got to remember, well, what am I getting this for? Anyway. Does not take account of wrongdoing. Does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoice in truth. What is the truth? God is the truth. Every day. And especially godly couples. You are coming. Thank God. Thank God, honey. Thank God, honey. You have Jesus. Thank God. Because guess what? No matter what I go through, it's the love that's going to come out. The love of the Father. Thank God, husband. I see love. Because that's what the Father's love will do in marriage. Amen. Love bears all things. Regardless what comes. Believe all things. Looking for the best in each one. Ooh, that's good. Looking for the best in each one. Even in your day. Again, now, if you have any singles, you're going through, you're going to show the best. You're going to show the best. Now, after you put the ring on and everything, some of the best going to fall. But guess what? If he loves you, he's still going to see the best. See the best in you. Okay? And then, hope all things, remaining steadfast. This is good. Remaining steadfast during difficult times. When times get hard, they're still with you. I heard a guy say the same. Hey, they were married for over 50 years. He said, when the road got rough, I'm so glad my wife still stayed in the car. I said, that's beautiful. You know, when the road gets bumpy and rough, first thing they want to do, let me out. Where's the lock at? And they want to get out. But he said, when the road got rough. And that's how our Father stays with us. And we got this word, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Endures all things. Love never fails. Amen. And we'll stop with that. Love never fails. So, love is action. God is love. So when you're dating, make sure you invite the Father into your relationship. Make sure you look to the Father, or rather see the Father in whomever you're dating with, man, woman. Make sure you see the Father in who you date. Why? Because we are what? The object of his love. And so when he gave himself, he gave us love. And when we accept him, guess what we accepted? All the love. And guess what he asked us to do that? When we go out, we do what? Love one another. Amen. Are there any questions?